Good evening, Seattle and Little Saigon and all the realms of the interzone and the space that exists between space. Good evening to all those who live in the corners of the corners at the edge of the plane. Good evening. It is technically almost Wednesday, but I'll call it Tuesday at 11:30 p.m. And yeah, it is April the 16th, soon to be April the 17th, 2019. I hope you're having a great day, a great beginning of your week, that you're highly motivated. You should be. If you want to be able to afford the Grunkus and the Gromulan and the Scrimpus and the Klim, if you want to be able to afford the stuff that you can pour into a bowl, Hoob, if you want to be able to afford the stuff you can pour into a bowl and then boil into a slurry and then shove down your throat so that you can wake up the next day to buy the same ingredients to do the same thing by working a job, you need to stay focused, buddy. You need to have a good fucking attitude. As many of you may or may not know, I actually did find a job. I was several months between contracts. You could argue that I am the only one to blame for that, and you would be substantially correct. I did not have, a really great experience at my last contract between the physical abuse from my manager, and I mean physical, as in unwanted touching, although when you're a 50-year-old man and you talk about that in reference to a gay Asian manager, you find yourself in that intersectional region of identity politics where people just want you dead. So that and the issues of being accused of being a liar and all the other creepy shit that went on at that fucking place. Yeah, it kind of led to a few months being between jobs. And really, it was probably a few months I wanted, although it almost led to my total ruin. And the jury's still out. I mean, hopefully next Monday I get a check, and with that check I will pay my rent for this month, and I will also make a substantial start towards the rent for next month. Eventually I'll build up a few months of rent and some savings. I'll probably ignore the attacks of my creditors because I just couldn't give a fuck about the banks and the credit card companies and Toyota Financial Corporation. They took their car back, their shitty car that I had essentially paid for in 2017, February 2018, they took the car a year ago. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. But yeah, I started this job working for one of the five major software companies that a person would work for as a contractor. I don't like mentioning the names because I don't want to come back to haunt me. But yeah, I started this job and I get to go to the magical campus, the Willy Wonka technology campus every day and see the Willy Wonka people, the Oompa Loompas, go to work, feeling so fucking good about the reality of how their technology and their existence and their science and engineering will make everything fucking better. It's actually pretty cool. The funny thing about this particular corporate campus, well, there's many funny things, is that they have a ton of cafeterias, a lot of really good food. If you have money, it's actually pretty good food. It's really a special place. It's like a little utopia. In fact, you have to go a few miles. You have to cross a great lake on a very long concrete bridge to get to a place where you're going to see the reality of people clinging to the side of civilization. But you do. On that bus ride home, you see the tents and the tarps. You see the cardboard boxes, you see the scraggly folk walking about. It is an instant reminder, except you're the only person on the fucking bus who isn't staring at their phone. So you actually see what's going on. So yes, indeed, I hope you're having a great week. I'm having a great week. Today on the bus, it was standing room only. When you take the 545 back to Seattle, it can sometimes be standing room only from Redmond. And I was on the bus, and I was with another coworker, because he actually lives downtown, so he takes the 545. And because of the rain, the bus came to a sudden stop, and I actually fell a little bit towards this gentleman who was sitting down, and he shoved his elbow into my chest and said, "Excuse me." He didn't say, "Can I help you?" He didn't show any concern. He was interested in his little glowing rectangle and his really fashionable skinny jeans and his hipster existence and probably some type of new, entirely respectful, locally sourced, quasi-Mexican restaurant he's going to go to in Belltown. So fuck. Why not just elbow the dude who almost hit his head on the ground because the bus came to a sudden stop? And this is good, and these are the people I work with. These are the kinds of people I spend my days with. I was walking by the coffee zone, the little kitchenette today at work, and this woman stared at me. I think she was, I don't know, she looked to be about 10 years older, so let's say she was 63. And she gave me that look of death, like there was something about me that was offensive. My mere existence was offensive. And it is kind of funny. You know, when people at work ask me questions about what I do and where I live, I often get these looks from them, like they're wincing, like they're seeing something uncomfortable. There is a narrative. It's really quite simple. If you're a software engineer in Seattle, you should be doing great. And as much as you'd like to believe that, and maybe even statistically it might seem true, I hate to break it to you. It's not actually true. There are a lot of people who do quite well as software engineers in Seattle, and then there's a huge, huge bunch of people, a lot like me, who get by. We endure, we survive. Some of us, you know, excuse me, do a better job of saving money and making hay when the times are good. We follow the admonitions of Joseph, you know, from the Old Testament, from Genesis, and we try to make sure we're saving resources for the lean years, you know, for the skinny calf years. We try to do that, but some of us don't. Some of us were married for many years and watched our money flow from our pocketbook into an institution that would explode. That's kind of my experience. I had prime earning years, and they were mostly directed towards something that ended up being a big nothing. And in my 5 years since separation, 4 years since divorce, I've had 1 year where I felt like economically I was making progress. So yeah, this woman in the coffee zone, the place where we go to the machines that feed us coffee, soon they'll feed us poison when they get their orders from the super intelligent machine, but that's not quite yet. But yeah, she gave me this look and I was wondering why. I don't know her. I don't talk to her. I don't frown at her. I may not smile at her, but why would she give me that look? And it's one of those things. It's like my coworker friend who asked me about my situation and whether I had lots of money to invest in something. I said, "Listen, I have no money." And he says, "Well, how can you have no money?" I said, "Well, it's easy. It's actually really, really easy to have no money. It's like what Hemingway said. You know, once they asked him, how did you go broke, Hemingway? And he said, slowly and then all at once. Well, that kind of happened to me. In 2015, I was in really, really, really good economic shape. I actually was, just barely a year after my divorce, maybe a year and a half. I was actually in pretty good shape. And then 2016 rolled around and everything went wrong. I don't want to go over that because if you listen to my podcast, you've heard me complain about that fucking shit. But everything went wrong in 2016. So I don't really have a specific topic for today. I know that the whole issue around Notre Dame Cathedral has been in the news. I don't really have any opinion on this. I don't know enough about the specifics to even have an educated opinion. I can tell you, excuse me, man, my throat's really dry, so I'm really sorry about that. But I can tell you that the cathedral itself has been around, I think, since the 12th or 13th century. It represents a good example of what was the kind of cathedral boom of the Middle Ages. You know, during the Middle Ages, there was kind of this strange arms race in Christendom between various cities and who could have the most amazing cathedral, because it was a celebration of God and Christ. And if you could have a really huge cathedral, it meant something. So these are, this is a big deal. These are artifacts of the Middle Ages that are like, you know, their equivalent of skyscrapers, their equivalent of the Colosseum. And to have something like Notre Dame stand for almost 1,000 years and then catch fire, I'm sure it is impactful. I'm sure that there are people who want to tie it to the Yellow Vest movement, and I just don't know what to say. I don't even know if that's a real thing. I know I've mentioned this before, but I have a hard time with a lot of these political movements that seem to just spontaneously arrive, and yet they seem to have no real interest in succeeding. I will believe in the Yellow Vest movement when the first French army general is turned. I will believe in the Yellow Vest movement when they actually attack their first armory and take weapons. These are things throughout history revolutionaries have done. You don't actually need the right to keep and bear arms to go steal guns. It actually just involves theft. So the Yellow Vest movement currently looks like a giant pile of bullshit, a kind of slow burn, an absolute political excuse for the building of a European army, and frankly, for tightening the Eurozone down into something that's more of a political institution of control. That's what I think. So who knows what happened to Notre Dame? I don't know. Probably it was an accident. All these people are talking about fixing it and repairing it. And you know, it may have been set on fire just to take the heat off of the Yellow Vest movement, just to sort of cool it off. Who knows? I mean, in a way, it would kind of make sense. The French are very emotional people, right? Yeah, I'm stereotyping. But they're emotional about their shit, right? So, hey, set fire to Notre Dame, and it's like an existential or spiritual enema. You just take all that negative angst and you put it someplace else into, holy fuck, this major historical artifact has been partially destroyed. So that's all I want to say about Notre Dame. I don't know. I don't even know what to say more about that. Beyond that topic, most of the news is kind of crappy. I feel like, or I just have this feeling inside of me that I just don't know. I don't know. It's like the Julian Assange thing. I can feel within the whole Trump movement, the deplorable movement, a kind of disquiet of the soul. It's palpable. You know, online you can tell in comment sections and in essays that people write, in other podcasts, it's like they're coming up with excuses. Why is Julian Assange currently in a prison? Why is he currently, in that situation? I don't know what to tell you. I can tell you that Trump people 2 years ago or 3 years ago would have said Julian Assange is a great guy and he really is telling the truth and whatnot. Now they have to come up with excuses for why he's a scumbag. And that's in the space of basically 24 fucking months. You may think that's a long ass time, but it really isn't. It's not. It's just a couple years. So the whole thing kind of stinks. And I think the plague of madness is expanding. I don't know that it will simply keep getting worse, but I would say this: as it gets worse, the people that go crazy are going to be progressively in jobs and roles and occupations that would really suck if people start going crazy. It's one thing for, you know, the mailman or the person flipping burgers to go insane. And it's terrible, because if they take other people with them, that is fucking terrible. But it's another for an engineer at a chemical plant, or a manager at a nuclear facility, or the captain of a nuclear submarine, or an Air Force officer manning a silo. It's another thing for those fuckers to go crazy. And you could say, well, Dan, that's never going to happen. Well, I got to tell you something. These are human beings. They have jobs. Their lives are under stress just like yours. And even though they sometimes make okay money you know, you may not know this, but money doesn't quite go as far as it used to, despite the fact that we're told there's no inflation. So a lot of people are under pressure, and it's really just a question of when that pressure becomes too much. If you were to ask me, you know, in terms of scenarios that could cause great havoc on the planet, and you're doing it, you're sort of doing the list of horribles, the menu, and the items on the menu are things like peak oil, resource overutilization, and climate change and climate collapse, I would add to the list plague of madness. It isn't really that scientific because there's no real good way of scientifically observing or recording it other than keeping track of the strange fucking shit that goes on. But if you were to ask me, I think it's a dead heat. I don't know what could be the undoing of the current paradigm, which also, oh, by the way, does not mean the end of the world. The world goes through changes. Doesn't mean it's ending. But if I were to bet, I still think the plague of madness could win this one. I think that before things get better, they could get a lot worse. It is the fever that is designed to kill the infection, and I think the fever's coming. We're beginning to sense it. You know, we've got a few temperature, you know, a few degrees above normal in terms of our body temperature, the body politic, but we haven't quite broken through the propaganda or the narrative. People are still staring at their fucking phones. It doesn't matter. People pooping on walls, I've seen that. Homeless people, you know, sexually assaulting hybrid vehicles, I've seen that. I've seen it all. But as long as you have a little glowing rectangle to look at, you don't see it. As long as you have earbuds in and you're staring at your glowing rectangle and you only open up your peripheral vision to make sure you don't trip and fall in the street or get hit by a car, there's a whole bunch of world you'll miss. You will never see. But I don't have a smartphone. And so I think I probably see more. I think I probably do see more. Anywho, I am hoping this job goes well enough that I can afford to linger on. If you're a listener and you enjoy my podcasts, this isn't a very long one, but you know, in the right-hand panel of my SoundCloud page, you can see donation links. Feel free to donate. I never turn away a buck. I cannot promise you I'll use it for anything good, but at least I'm telling you that up front. What I can tell you is that if you have other people in your life or yourself that can use the money, you need to help them first. This is a lot like the airplane scenario, folks. If you want to donate to me, that's fine. But please put your own mask on first. And with that note, I actually made it under the wire, so it's still technically Tuesday. I'm going to let you guys go. I had a fairly good talk with a friend tonight. I don't want to say more than that, but this person's going through some hard stuff. And I hope he does well. I hope you all do well. And good night.